Jesus does. He wipes our sins away. Amen. And when you give your heart to God, you will find peace. You will find wholeness. You will find healing. You will find restoration. I was talking to somebody last week, and this lady I was talking with, and I was saying, you know, I didn't want to Bible bash her. We were talking about God. I didn't want to Bible bash, but I said, look, Jesus works. Jesus Christ works. He does work. He works. He's alive. Come on. I'm doing better than your response this morning. It's Easter. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. If you invite Jesus in your heart, He will transform your life. Why would you not give something that works? I was using my son as an example. If I said to this lady, I said, if you found a cure for allergies, would you not give that to me, to give it to my son? She said, yes. And I'm saying, I don't want to push religion on you. I want to invite you to a relationship with Jesus because I know He works. We heard that with Elias. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day. I am alive because what He did on the cross. You're alive with a purpose, with an identity, because what He did on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a good day to be alive. There's a lot of good things God is doing in our church life, but also in our nation. God is moving in our nation. Amen. There are more people that are hungry for God than ever before. I know the church is asleep, but out there they're looking for answers. And I believe it's about time that the church, you and I, church is not a building. I often say a church is not steeple, it's people. It's not the steeple. I drove to the airport the other day to drop someone off and I saw this massive big steeple. I don't know if you noticed in Manukau, you know, this massive big steeple. And I'm thinking, you're spending so much money on it. And I thought, one day it's going to go down. It's not about the steeples, it's about the people. Amen? All right, hey, before I get into my word this morning, praise God, I hope you've already been blessed. I've been blessed by the testimony, the little kids dancing, and I think the little kids dance. Nathan, you got to move like that, man. And that was a good move there from your girls. Yeah, very good. Excellent. Amen. Hey, just want a couple of announcements I want to make. Number one, our newcomers lunch is on the 14th of April. So if you're new here, you've been coming for a while and you haven't attended one of our newcomers lunch, it's a time where we can you meet and we can talk and get to know each other and talk a little bit about the church. So if you're new, you haven't attended this lunch, please sign up. There will be a sign-up sheet next week, but sign up or talk to me or one of us on the stage and we'll give you more information. Amen. I also want to say a big thanks to Bridget. Bridget's done hot cross buns, you know, hot cross buns. Yeah, she's baked them and they look amazing. So thank you, Bridget. So you'll enjoy them after the service. Don't rush away. Kids can have candy floss and whatnot, and there's a bit of hot cross buns for you to fellowship and hang out, so please don't rush away. I also want to say we're starting Alpha course. Alpha is a course on exploring life, exploring the meaning of life, exploring who Jesus is. This is your opportunity, church. We've been praying for people, great. This is your opportunity to bring someone to this dinner on the 28th of April. It's a 7-week course. On the 28th of April, you can come along with whoever you invite for this dinner. And then we ask them if they would like to join this course. And the course officially starts. So the dinner is on Sunday night, 28th of April. The course starts on the 29th of April. And we finish on the 10th of June. So if you know someone who's been asking you questions about life, about God, where do I come from, where do I go, where did I come from, Cotton Eye Joe, if they're wondering what those questions are, invite them to Alpha. Amen. Thank you, Talaga. That's a good amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. Yes, good. All right. Hey, I want to talk this morning about being an overcomer. Being an overcomer. Being an overcomer. God is an overcomer. Jesus is an overcomer. We are celebrating because he overcame sin, sickness, death. Amen. And then he wants us to overcome. You know, we hear or we heard a lot in about this word overcome, be an overcomer, be an overcomer. And it's not just the civil rights movement that talked about overcomer, you know, one day we will overcome. There was a song on being an overcomer. But it's a biblical term. God wants you and I to be an overcomer. Amen. When he looks at you, he looks at you as an overcomer. And I'm going to show you why. But life in life, there are so many ups and downs. There's so many struggles and pains and sickness and loss and disappointments and distractions. But in all this, he wants us to be overcomers. Turn to your neighbor and say, be an overcomer. Now turn the other side and say, you are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Amen. See, the word overcome occurs several times in the New Testament. The Greek word for overcome is Nike, which means victorious. You know Nike shoes? It is a Greek word. And Nike is actually named after a goddess, but the root of that is actually, it means victorious. To overcome something, your overcomer is to overcome something that is prevailing over you, pushes you down, holds you back, or defeats you. You overcome those things that you cannot in your own strength. You overcome. Overcoming is any opposition that comes at you, you overcome that. Now, God, especially in New Testament, Jesus talks a lot about overcoming. And I believe today as believers, God wants us, Jesus wants us, his church, to be a church that's overcoming. A church that is not defeated. Come on. Church is you and I. Church is, if somebody's sleeping next to you, you nudge them. Okay? Yeah. Church is you and I. And God wants us to be an overcomer. You are an overcomer. The church should be overcoming church. No matter what the world may throw at us, all hell may break loose, but we are called to be overcomers. Amen. In the book of Revelation, you know, John has a vision of Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 and in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14 onwards. He doesn't see Jesus as a Mary had a little lamb. He sees a Jesus who's like a warrior. You can read it at home. I don't have time today to take you through all this. But he sees Jesus as a warrior. His hair is like the light as a sun. And his eyes and his voice like an ocean roaring. It's amazing description. And he's so afraid that he falls to the ground. Because he sees the image of God, of Jesus, as a mighty warrior. Then he goes on in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, he's talking to the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. And the seven churches and the theme is, be an overcomer. He's telling the church today, be an overcomer. John writes through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, through God, he's writing to the church in Revelations 2. It's not on the screen. If you're taking notes, Revelations 2, verse 7. He says, be an overcomer. Verse 11, be an overcomer. Verse 17, be an overcomer. Verse 26, be an overcomer. Revelations 3, 6, be an overcomer. Revelations 3, 12, be an overcomer. Revelations 3, 21, be an overcomer. And God wants us to overcome. Hallelujah. God has called us to a life of victory, not defeat. He's called us to a life of victory and not defeat. And we know the story with the disciples. If you've been raised in Christian families, that the day when Jesus died, they all went back to their own homes. In John chapter 20, we see that when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb on Sunday morning on the third day, she goes to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. And she goes, where did they take her master? So she runs to the disciples, I don't know what they were doing, and tells them, look, they took the master away. And they all run fast. And poor Peter gets overtaken by someone else. Peter was a slow runner. And that's what I think. He was a slow runner. And then they get there, and the Bible teaches that Peter stooped down and he looks, and the tomb was empty, and they go back home. They go back home, but Mary Magdalene stays there, and I'm paraphrasing the story, but then she thought this is a gardener, but then she finds out the gardener was Jesus. Amen. The resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is not a KFC where you drive in and you get your food and walk out. Now learn to spend time with Jesus. You want to know your plans and purposes of your life, take time to read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. It's not going to happen fast like that. You have to know your Creator. You cannot be an overcomer. I'm an overcomer, I'm an overcomer, I'm an overcomer, I'm an overcomer. No, 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 no. We have to apply the Word of God in us. When we are confused, when my spirit is confused, my mind is confused, my head is confused, my life is confusing, I apply the word and say, I am an overcomer because he is an overcomer. Amen. And so we see that Jesus reveals himself to Mary Magdalene. Because you see, most of us, we kind of live our lives in our own way we perceive life. But God truly wants us to have fellowship with him every day. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, look at this. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 and verse 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You and I are born of God. If you've given your heart to God, you are born of God. So if you're born of God, then whatever comes, you overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes Jesus is the Son of God. We may feel we're not overcomers. You may not feel like you're overcoming right now. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, God looks at you as an overcomer. Amen. The day I gave my heart to God, I've entered into the position of an overcomer. Hallelujah. See, as soon as when I was born into my own, my family, I have a mom and dad. My mom passed away, but mom and dad. See, I have a position in my family. I'm the youngest, the third child. So I was spoiled. Praise God, all the youngest. Amen. Yeah, and all the middle children, you have resentment. You need Jesus, you know. And I have a position. And better than me is if you talk about the royal family, if you're born in the family, you have a position. You automatically become royalty. There's a position. And so the day you gave your heart to God, you entered into the position of as an overcomer. Without you doing anything, you entered into that position as an overcomer. But now there's a big difference between the position and the practice of an overcomer. You may be in the position of an overcomer, but what God wants is that we practice the lifestyle of an overcomer. Amen. So you have authority in Christ, that's your position. But now he wants you to practice that authority so that you are learning and exercising the authority of Christ in you. You're exercising and practicing that spirit of overcomer within you. That's what he's saying. The day you gave your heart to God, you're an overcomer. But now, while you live on earth, he's teaching us, practice what I've taught you. to be an overcomer. We can have the position, but we need to practice. Amen. You know, I've got three children. Now, my position in the family is I'm the father. Yes, legally I'm their father. But I need to practice to being a dad at home. Amen. I can be, legally I'm a father. It's just a legal thing. But what gives me right to speak into his life is that I'm committed to my family. Now, legally, if you're married, legally you're married. But it's the same thing. You can have a legal position, but do you practice being married? Amen. So that's what we're talking about. So God is not just after head knowledge. He wants us to really have a revelation of this overcomer. Not just a head knowledge of knowing that, yeah, I'm an overcomer. But when the enemy comes in at us and that we put our tail between our legs and run away. No, God wants us to be an overcomer. I'll show you that soon, how to be an overcomer. But I want to show some scriptures here. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's writing to the Roman people, the Romans, and he's telling them, look, Romans knew how to fight a fight. They conquered the world at that point. So he's saying, I know you've conquered the world, but you're more than a conqueror because you got Christ in you. And we are more than conquerors too because of Christ. Look at this, James chapter 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. I'll read that again. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. So what he's saying is, when you go through problems, stay steadfast. Stay focused. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the world. Because Romans chapter 8 clearly talks about the world cannot mix with God. And God cannot mix with world. Worldly ideas cannot go with godly ideas. And godly ideas cannot mix with worldly ideas. And we live in this world, but we are not of this world. Amen. And a lot of us, we have some worldly ideology because the culture influences us. But when we go under the word of God, it teaches us that we do not follow the culture of this world, but we follow Christ while we live in this world. Amen. So he's saying, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he stood the test, he receives a crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Continuously, I keep seeing many church leaders are actually giving up walking with God. There are many Christians who are not walking with God properly. Why? Because they're giving up because of the pressures of life. Life throws so many stuff at them, pressure, that they walk away from God. And the reason why we walk away from God is because we do not have a relationship with God. We think we have relationship with God. No, what we actually have is a knowledge about God, but not a relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with God, you cannot walk away from God. Amen. How can you walk away from God when he did what he did on the cross for you and I? If I have a relationship, not head knowledge, if I have a relationship that he died for me, how can I walk away from God? Moreover than that, he's actually given me principles in the Bible in my day-to-day life, how I can actually walk an overcoming life in the world that I live in, because his spirit gives me life. Revelations 3 verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. That's a pretty cool promise. Isn't that a cool promise? Amen? To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. As I also overcame, sat down with my Father on his throne. Hallelujah. I want to be in that place. Hello? Isn't that great? Hallelujah. We're reasoning so many things. We reason. We think, we analyze so many things. We analyze till we're completely paralyzed. We lose our faith. But God is saying, look, if you can overcome, I will grant you a seat to sit with me on my throne as I've overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. So how do we overcome? How can we overcome? I've got three simple points on overcoming. Number one is called repent. Number two is called remember. Number three is called repeat. To be an overcomer, that's it. A lot of Christians go into Greek, Hebrew, and you know all these languages. I want to just stick to English. Because it doesn't matter if you talk in Greek or Hebrew and sound all holy and all that stuff. Let me tell you, it's not how beautiful you sound that glorifies God. It's our lifestyle that bears the right fruit that glorifies God. We are known by our fruit. Amen. We're known by our fruit. Don't give me, I have a lot of people that give me a lot of opinions. They give me a lot of opinions. And I'm like, I'm respectful of your opinions, but they don't really matter to me when it really comes to application. Because your opinions don't matter. What matters is your fruit. Are you picking up your cross and following God daily? Amen. So number one is repent. Number two is remember. Number three is repeat. Very, very profound points. And I'll share what I mean. Repent. Overcoming number one starts with repenting. Come on. Overcoming starts with repentance. Repentance means, God, I'm really sorry that my way is so wrong and I turn away from my way, I turn away from my pride, I turn away from my own will to turn to your will. Amen. So this is our imaginary tomb. Welcome to my imaginary tomb. And I'm going to put myself in a tomb this morning because I can. So, I live in a defeated life. I'm in a tomb. And I had no hope, no future. But the day I repented and I gave my heart to the Lord, I was set free from my bondage, my slavery, and my lost, hopeless life. Amen. Now, I got to repent. And repent is not just kind of saying sorry, but it's saying sorry, not my will, Lord, but let your will be done. I'm never going to go back to my ways, but your ways. So that's the repentance of the heart. And when we repent, we come out of our own shell. I love it. I'm going to look at a bit with Peter. Peter, in the Bible, Jesus said to Peter, you will deny me three times. And he said, I won't, but he did. But in John chapter 20, 21, we see Jesus reinstates Peter back to his rightful position because Peter repents. Peter repents. A lot of us, we can't walk as an overcomer because we struggle to repent. We struggle to say sorry. We struggle to say sorry because of pride. Amen. It's not just little kids at home. I mean, even in relationships, you know, when you're sitting and counseling and just, she did it first, he did it first. He started it. And we blame each other. But repentance means saying, hey, I am sorry. I'm taking responsibility of my behavior. I'm taking responsibility of my attitude. I'm taking responsibility of my selfishness. I was reading and thinking about Judas and Peter, you know, two disciples. Judas didn't repent, but he regretted what he did. Regret is not repentance. Regret is like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, no, I shouldn't. Oh, man. It's not like a Kiwi thing. Oh, I'm sorry, but you're not really sorry? Come on, how many of you have done that? You cut someone and you say, sorry, bro. And you're not really sorry. You did it on purpose. Right? We tell someone off and then say, I'm sorry about that, but we feel good because we wanted to tell them off. Oh, I'm sorry about my attitude, but you feel good. That's not the sorry. That's not regret. Regret. Judas had a regret of what he did, but Peter truly repented. The first thing we can do to be an overcomer is repent of your stubbornness. Repent of my stubbornness. Repent of my selfishness. Repent of everything that holds me back. Repent of that and say, God, I need you in my life. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 16 says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. A righteous may fall seven times, but he will rise up again. How do we rise up again? By saying, God, I'm sorry. Saying sorry to someone that you love. Amen. A lot of relationships, they can be restored if actually the people in the relationship can take responsibility of their behavior. Amen. Then you put the lawyers out of job. Lawyers are making a lot of money because of people fighting. You put them out of job because there's no job for family lawyers, family law. You know? We got a few lawyers here. They're worried about their future. Let me remind them, their future is not here, it's in heaven. There was only one amen from one lawyer, the other one's going, This is cute. I was preaching last Sunday, I was talking about burnout. And I said, you know, we cannot burn out if we keep our eyes on God. Amen. And someone, one of our young adults sitting there, and in their mind, they're going, shut up, Pastor Peter, shut up. You know? And they told me that they were thinking, you know, shut up, Pastor Peter, because burnout is real. It is real burnout. But we only burn out when we have our eyes on us. Because we make it all about us. Amen. We burn out because we keep our eyes on us. Instead of that, I said, God, I give it to you. Remember, I told the story. About three people came for a lunch we provided for 100 people here one Christmas Sunday. One of the Sundays in December, during Christmas season. And I struggled because my eyes were on me more than on God. I was so embarrassed. And I thought I was a failure until God reminded me that I got to keep my eyes on Him. Amen. And when I figured out, I keep my eyes on Him, I realized, God, I am sorry. Not my will, but let your will be done. So we all fall. But the key is, don't sit in failure. Amen? Don't sit in failure, but get up, apologize, repent, and move on. Some of us are so good at fighting, we've actually forgot what we're fighting for. We're so busy fighting, we forgot what we're fighting for. I hear people say, I'm a fighter. I mean, even a good thing, it's a birthday, someone's birthday, and you're still fighting there because you're a fighter. Stop fighting. There's a season to fight, there's a season to not fight. Amen. Number two. Oh, before I go, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not your feeling. I feel like I'm a loser. Well, You may feel it, but the truth is you're victorious in Christ. So it's not by sight, but by faith. Number two is remember. And we, Pastor Don spoke on this. Remember. Remember what God has done. A lot of us remember. This is, see, you know, this is the second R. To walk as an overcomer, remember what Jesus did, and that will help you overcome. Instead of what we do, we remember what we did. And each time we remember what we did, we go and put ourselves back in the grave. We put ourselves in the grave. It's we voluntarily come back into our vomit, as the Bible says. We come back and we keep accusing ourselves, condemning us, putting ourselves down, and we blame ourselves. And instead of repentance, but we remember all the bad things we have done. The more we remember the bad things, the less we will remember what God has done. So my encouragement today is, can we actually remember what He did? Not what we did. Because I will say this, what you and I have done will lead to death. But what He's done leads to life. What you and I have done brings condemnation. But what He's done brings conviction. What you have done brings death. What He's done brings life. So can we remember what He did? Peter's good traits were, Peter was open-hearted, he was loyal, and verbally gifted. But when Peter remembered the negative things, Peter was impulsive, he was weak, strong-willed, and fearful. Remember Peter, who denied Christ, known as a coward because he denied Christ not once, twice, three times. He denied Christ. But on the day at Pentecost, Peter got up and spoke the truth of the word. Peter would not have had that freedom if he didn't remember what Christ had done and only remembered what He did. The choice is yours today. What do you remember? Do you remember your own mistakes and keeps you guilty, shame? Or do you want to remember what Christ has done? Because what Christ has done, if you remember that, He'll set you free. That's how you become an overcomer. Psalm 77 verse 11 says, "But then I recall all you have done. But then I recall all you've done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you?" What a powerful scripture. Remember what God has done, not what you've done. And then you can walk away from a tomb into life to say, "Look, I am sorry, God. I'm sorry to whoever you love. I'm sorry. I remember what God has done." And when you do that, you're walking in as an overcomer. The Bible's way of overcoming is not fighting. It's not by in flesh and blood. It's the best way to overcome is to repent, to remember what Christ has done. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, "The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent." How cool is that? Peter's writing that because he experienced it. That he says that God is slow to anger and rich in love. Amen? My last point is repeat. Very profound. Repeat. How do I overcome? Number one, repent. Number two, remember. Number three, repeat. Repeat, 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 repeat. That means going back and repeating myself and reading the word, repeating the word, reading the word and repeating the word, doing the basics right. Amen. Doing the basics right. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. Spend time. 5 minutes, start five. I don't know how you, but spend time with God. Repeat the truth. Walk in His ways. Repeat it. How do you grow a muscle? Repeat. Amen. Repeat on reading the word. Repeat on spending time with God. Repeat renewing your mind. Repeat renewing your mind. I feel I'm a loser. Repeat it. The Bible says, I am an overcomer. I feel like nobody loves me. Repeat it. The Bible says, God loves me. I feel that I am nobody. I feel I am a diseased person. I feel I am condemned. I feel whatever your feelings are, you can repeat the truth of His word. Repeat the truth. Whatever the problems you go through, repeat the truth. I love it about Peter. In Acts chapter 2 verse 14, I love this. The same Peter who was a coward, who was somebody that denied Christ three times. Acts chapter 14, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 or the other apostles, shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's only 9 in the morning, man. Come on. If it was 6 o'clock, yeah, sure. You know, it sounds like. But you know, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by Prophet Joel. What Peter is doing, he's now repeating. He's saying, God, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he repeats it in Acts chapter 3, verse 4. Peter and John looked at him intently. This is the guy, the beggar at the gate, beautiful. Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold for you, but what I have, but what I'll give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the guy walked. What Peter had was Christ. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. What Peter had was Christ. He repeated the same message. Acts chapter 3 verse 12. Peter preached in the temple. Again the fourth chapter. In Acts chapter 4 verse 8. Saying rulers to the of the people and the elders. And is declaring again in Acts chapter 4 verse 31. And he's declaring a prayer meeting and the place shook. And look at this in verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Repeat. We see the success for Peter was repeating what God called him to do. You may think this is a bit weird I'm talking on this, but I want to say, I'm sure you can acknowledge or you know somebody who there's a cycle, you know, there's a repetition of sin. They know they shouldn't do it and they regret. And they accuse themselves, they beat themselves down. See, how do we be deceived with that? That we repeat the sin so much, but we struggle to repeat the truth in our lives. We sit in this thinking, oh, I don't, you know, nobody likes me. I don't like anybody. I don't want to. I'm done with this life. You know, there's a repetition. There's a repetition. There's a repetition. But why can't we sit here and go, I know you have a plan for me. Your plans are not to harm me, but to give me a hope and a future. That you've called me by name. If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm a head, not a tail. Why don't we repeat those? That I'm made in the image of Christ. I was fearfully and wonderfully made by God. His spirit is within me. And I'm an overcomer because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Why can't we repeat that? Why do we have to repeat? It's like a broken CD. Why do we have to repeat, you know, what he did, what she did? He pinched me first, she pinched me first. And, you know, he did this, she did that. Why do we have to repeat that? Why can't we forgive and come back and repeat and say, because of Christ, I forgive you. That's how we overcome. That's how we overcome. It's very simple. How to be an overcomer? Repent, Remember, repeat. And as I share this last scripture, I want to get the worship team up, please. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, I want to say this to us, please. I want you to hear this. Do not get tired. Do not get tired in doing good. Do not get weary in doing good. Because in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't get tired. Don't get tired in doing good. Don't get tired in praying. Don't get tired in reading the word. Don't get tired. I tell you, when I was a kid, I'll say this. When I was a kid, my parents made me recite the word of God. I had to sit there. And if I especially over summer break, I had to recite Psalms, you know, different Psalms chapters. I hated it. I thought, why am I doing this? Boring. I'd rather go watch TV or something. It was boring. I resented my parents for making them making me recite the word of God. But now I am very grateful because the word is in my heart. The word is in my heart. Whenever the devil attacks, I know how to fight. The devil is with the word. Repeat it. Don't give up. Repeat, what you're doing is good. Don't give up. God wants you to be an overcomer today. And overcoming starts with repentance. Overcoming starts with remembering what He did. Overcoming starts with us saying, I repeat, today I don't feel like getting out of bed, but I repeat the cycle of getting out of bed, reading my word, getting ready to go to work, staying committed to the journey that God's put me. I feel like giving up. But I'm going to repeat what Bible teaches me. That even though a righteous may fall 7 times, the Lord will deliver him. I keep thinking, what is the point in all this? Might as well give up. But then I go back and repeat the scripture that says, don't get tired in doing good, because you will reap a harvest in due season. Don't lose heart. So the choice is ours to be an overcomer is to repent, to remember, and to repeat. Father, I thank you that this Easter morning, on this day that we celebrate Jesus, the resurrected Christ, Lord, we repent of our pride. We repent of our sin. We repent of our willful behavior. We repent of our selfishness. Father, we choose to not remember what we did, but we choose to remember what you did. That God, we will be repeating the truth that you told us. That we do not get tired in doing good, because in due season we'll reap a harvest. Lord, even though we may not be faithful, but you are faithful. We may feel like you don't hear our prayers, but Lord, we know that you hear our prayers. When we are weak, you are strong. That when we are moving in our feelings, you teach us to walk by faith. God, may we be overcomers, not in our strength, but by your Spirit. By your Spirit, may we May we be overcomers. Today, I don't know what you're going through, but can we stand to our feet, please? As we worship God. Why don't you repent today? Because I know you want to be an overcomer, because you're already an overcomer. Why don't you repent today and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. I choose today, this morning, to remember what Christ has done. My old nature is gone. I put on a new nature. And I repeat the cycle of living for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Tim. Amen.
He is alive. He won the victory. He reigns on high. Our God is risen. He is alive. He won the victory. He reigns on high.
Haven't given your heart to Jesus, and you're here for the first time, and you know about Jesus Christ, but you don't have a relationship with Him, and you want to give your heart to God, and you're wondering, how do I do this? Because I don't feel like I'm an overcomer, I feel more like I'm defeated. But I want to give my heart to Jesus. How do I do that? We have the pastoral team. You know, they all come and stand here. You can come and talk to them. And they will talk to you. They will pray with you this morning. You can talk to them and say, how do I give my heart to God? I want to give my heart to Him. I want to be an overcomer. They can lead you through that prayer. Or you may be seated here, standing here this morning, and you're saying, look, I've given my heart to God, but I still feel like I'm defeated. I don't feel like I'm an overcomer. I mean, the truth is, you are an overcomer. You may not feel like it, but Christianity, relationship with Jesus, is not about feeling, it's about faith. But if you need prayer and you feel beaten up, you feel broken, you feel a bit helpless and tired, and you need prayer, the pastoral team will be here. They'll pray with you this morning. I want to encourage you, please don't leave this room until you have peace in your heart. That you make peace in your heart today. You need Christ. Hallelujah. As you prepare in your heart, as you think about, is it me that I need to go forward to give my heart to God, to have the pastoral team to pray with me? It's a couple that will stand and pray with you. While you think on that, we've got a video on the screen, and we're celebrating different cultures in our church. We did a video just to bless you this morning. So keep standing and just keep your eyes focused on the screen. Thank you.
Números capítulo 6, versículo 24 al 26. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Amén.
Ya fa manuia oe yova, ma ya na tausi yati oe. Ya fa malamalamaina, e yova ona funga ilunga yati oe, ma lofa atsu yati oe. Ya fa sanga ma yova ona fufunga yati oe, ma tsuina atsu yati oe, e manuia.
Bilang 6:24 hanggang 26. Pagpalain sana kayo ng Panginoon. Ipakita sana ng Panginoon ang kanyang kabutihan at awa sa inyo. At malugod sana ang Panginoon sa inyo at bigyan niya kayo ng mabuting kalagayan.
Yehova tujhe aashish de aur tera raksha kare. Yehova tum par apna mukh chamkayega aur tum par anugrah karega. यहोवा तुम पर अपने कृपा दृष्टि फैलाता है और तुम्हें शांति दे।
ये कहानत उराकी एग्जाबहिर मुसीब अंदिबलोता नगरो लारोन नाल लिजोचु नगराचो ये इस्राएल लिजोच सितबार रखवाचो अंदिबलवाचो एग्जाबहिर इवारके इतबक हम एग्जाबहिर फितुन याबराले इरारले हम एग्जाबहिर फितुन वडांते यांसा सलाम ने मिगिस्त እንዲሁ ስሜን በእስራኤል ልጆች ላይ ይጠራሉ እኔም እባርካቸዋለሁ
ሳሚዳኖ ኦበተ አሽርዋደ ኮተ ኦባአራክሻ ከረነ ሰይኳ ሳሚዳኖ ኦበደ ሰዳያቬን ባላ ኦበተ ካሩና ከረነ ሰይኳ ሳሚዳኖ ሲየነት ኦበከረሄዮማ ኦበተ ሰማዳኔ ደነ ሰይኳ
ዲየረ ሳልዮ ሲየን ኤን ዮር በሁድ ዲየረ ሳልሰ አንከሰህ ወር ዮር ላትስካይን en jou genadig wees. Die Here sal sy aangesig oor jou verhef en aan jou vrede gee.
Ma ihoa kwe manaki, mana kwe itiaki. Ma ihoa e mea kia tiaho tona mata kia kwe. Mana ano hoki kwe e atifai. Ma ihoa tona kanohi e whakara kia kwe. Mana ano e tuku te rangimari kia kwe.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I pray that you will find peace in Christ today. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Father, I pray a blessing upon Expression Church. I pray a blessing on everyone that's here today and those that are watching us online. God, I pray those that have found peace, that they will continue to grow and walk in that peace. Those that haven't found peace yet and they are searching and looking for that peace. We know that your name is Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. You are the Prince of Peace, Jesus. I pray that they'll find you as their Prince of Peace today. I pray a blessing on this resurrected day. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, Lord, we celebrate the life that you've given us. And may we live this life and life in abundance, and no gates of hell shall prevail over us. I pray your blessings on us. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I want to say, yeah, we can go in the cafe, but if you don't, please don't go away. If you're searching for peace, we've got Dan and Pam here. Talk to them and they'll pray with you and find your peace in Jesus. Amen. God bless you.